Doctor Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge, author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Talking gardening, we've been talking trees, and I got a little bit more to talk about on trees. We'll go to the phone lines right away, though, so people won't be holding too long. Telephone number, if you want to be with us, is 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Somebody called and didn't want to go on the air and wanted to talk about composting from grass clippings and things from the yard and why that shouldn't just stay on the yard, and I'll get into that as we have time here. That's a good thing to talk about at this time of the year. First of all, let me just remind maybe the new listeners this hour a couple of things before we go to the phones. One is my next talk that I'm doing is next Saturday. For those of you in the North Texas area and can come over to Mount Pleasant, Texas, 10 miles from my hometown of Pittsburgh, Texas, I'll be speaking at the Cypress Basin Plant Sale and Garden Show. It's a Master Gardener event, and we're delighted. We were involved with them last year. It's a great show, terrific plants, a lot of booths, a lot of great gardening tools and agricultural tools and advice and stuff. It's a very, very good show. It's at their Civic Center in Mount Pleasant, Cypress Basin Plant Sale and Garden Show. Just look on dirtdoctor.com and click on appearances if you didn't know it. Note to jot all this down, and it's all right there. The next event will be the environmental awareness event at Lakewood Country Club in Dallas that I was telling you about. You do have to call or email. The information is under the button on our website and sign up for it in advance, but it is open to the public. And I'd love to see you there. That's part of town I live in, the Lakewood area. And then the next one will be March the 30th, 10 till noon. It'll be at Walton's Garden Center, and this is the first time I've done anything at Walton's. They've got a very wonderful, and have for some time now, but it's even better now than before, selection of organic products. So it's a Dirt Doctor destination for sure. And they also are the one that I was alluding to a minute ago about the fact that they've done a really good job on getting a lot of their plants at the proper height in the containers. And then the other ones that are coming up, Mother Earth News, there's the next one that apparently we are committed to do is in Asheville, North Carolina. And I'm looking forward to it because I think I'm right. I'm going to look this up and I'll tell you after the next break. I'm pretty sure that Asheville is the city that has this botanical garden. It's got the most incredible bonsai exhibit I've ever seen. I saw it on one of the Mother Earth News Fair trips, and I think it was the Asheville, but I'll double-check that and let you know. Okay, let me see if I can find my equipment here and get Preston up and see if we can help out a little bit. Preston, you there?
I'm here. How are you?
I'm doing great. What can I do for you?
I purchased a house recently, and we inherited a 6x12 greenhouse.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find resources, books, blogs, materials, website, Facebook groups, or anything that you may be aware of that can help me learn how to utilize that in our area. And I seem to be falling short on that.
Well, probably the best advice to you is just to do a Google search online. There's a bunch of good information there. And the reason I would suggest that is that there's just a whole bunch of different ways you can go, and I can help you by telling you a little bit about mine to give you an idea about how untechnical it can be, or it can be as technical as you want it to be. First of all, let me ask you a little bit more about it. What is the material that your greenhouse is made out of? Is it hard plastic corrugated material, or is it?
It is a hard plastic, and it's got the aluminum rails that hold everything together.
Okay. What kind of floor does it have in it?
It's just got a gravel floor in there.
Okay, one of the first things that I recommend that you do, and this may surprise you a little bit, is I'd take the gravel out.
Okay.
One of the things about gravel, and it's the same with concrete, and I've got concrete because mine was built. Mine is an old storage shed that had a concrete floor, and we raised the roof at an angle so that in the wintertime when the sun is low, it would come into the greenhouse, and I was going to use it, and I have used it as a propagation greenhouse in the winter. And in the summer, the sun, you know, is much higher in the sky, and it's got a solid roof on it. That roof that's at an angle is solid, so it doesn't get much direct sun in the summer. So that's one way to go. You can make it a propagation house and mostly good for growing things in the winter, or being a hospital for the tropical plants that are in your garden like we do. We move them into the greenhouse over the winter. The only ventilation that we have is we have vents at the top that I open with strings, and we have doors. It's just a regular house door that has a sliding screen on it, so I can open up vents in it and have vents at the top so I have natural air flowing through it. We heat it with just little space heaters. There's a black space heater that you can get at the big box stores. It is I can't remember the brand name, but it looks like one of the old timey heaters, you know, that was over beside the wall in homes, a radiator type heater. You can buy a small one at the big box stores, and they put out a very gentle warmness and really good. I've also got a little heater that blows out, and I use it some too because it has a thermostat on it that I can set and keep. I usually set it at 40 degrees, and I'll keep the temperature in the winter somewhere between 40 and 50 degrees, which is plenty warm enough just to, you know, get the tropical plants through the winter. But back to the flooring, the thing that I recommend for flooring that I couldn't do is to put a cedar mulch on the floor. And the reason for that is multiple. One, it smells great. It's just terrific. It makes it very pleasurable to work in the greenhouse. And two is the fragrance of the cedar gives you some insect repellency that works quite well. It's also putting carbon into the air, you know, the carbon dioxide coming off the mulch. So the thing about gravel and concrete like I've got is that those are the worst kind of materials you can have in a greenhouse for stimulating and preserving bacteria and pathogens. It's kind of funny. Most people wouldn't realize that. You can get around it by, you know, spraying some orange oil from time to time and doing things that are a little bit more trouble. But with a small greenhouse like you've got, I would bite the bullet and either cover the gravel with a fine textured or a medium cedar mulch, or I'd take it completely out and just put, you know, 2-3 inches of the cedar as the floor.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And that simple ventilation and simple heating, you know, set it up to where, you know, it doesn't get too hot and doesn't get too cold for your plants, and just experiment and play with it and do some searches online, and you'll see people with all kinds of greenhouses. There's one, I've got a book on at my office, and I can't remember the exact name of it, but it's from a lady in Maine who buries her greenhouses at least halfway in the ground. So, you know, the wall of quite a bit of the greenhouse is, you know, like 4 or 5 feet underground. So there's just all sorts of different ways you can go with a greenhouse situation.
Interesting. Well, I definitely appreciate the advice and the tips.
Well, good luck with your little greenhouse and just have fun with it.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. Talk to you later. One thing that I haven't done yet that I will do, Bob Webster, you know, my buddy in San Antonio who does a show like ours, and I'm on with him every Saturday morning on his show, he has a new greenhouse, and he built it out of a wood that I never can remember the name of the wood, and it doesn't matter because it's not available yet. It's available a little bit in San Antonio, but it's a wood – eco something. It's a wood, it's a treated wood, but the way they treat it is they treat it with heat. and it burns out all of the sap and the living organisms that are in lumber. You know, even though it's dry lumber that you buy at the store, there's still some sap and some moisture and some microbes in the lumber. That's what causes it to eventually rot. Well, this technique they use of cooking it to some high level naturally preserves it, so it'll last outside for a long time. His greenhouse is made out of it, and as soon as I can, I'll do some photographs and video of his and show you how that all works, and we'll get it on the website. Howard Garrett, be right back. Don't go away.
Did you know that two of the top five most prescribed drugs in this country are for digestive disorders? It's a fact. Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist. One of the questions I'm most frequently asked is how to relieve and eliminate digestive discomfort. Many people don't realize that indigestion, heartburn, bloating, or gas are often caused by a bacterial imbalance in the GI tract. Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics exclusive formula delivers a live, viable blend of beneficial bacteria directly to the source of your discomfort, relieving uncomfortable symptoms. I recommend Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics for healthy digestion and overall good health because it's backed by 25 years of research. This exclusive formula improves digestive pH and helps you regain bacterial balance by correcting the root cause of digestive issues. I encourage you to discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Are you a gardener or farmer in need of organic weed control? PureGrow Weed Crush is a natural, organic, non-selective weed control that kills broadleaf weeds, foxtail, chickweed, and other undesirable plants. It is fast-acting with visible results in 30 minutes and is safe to use around people and pets. Ask for PureGrow Weed Crush in your favorite garden, feed, or hardware store. Learn more at PureGrowUSA.com or call 469-423-0712.
When various pains slow you down, you should reach for real-time pain relief. It's non-greasy, relieves pain in minutes, smells great, and contains no harmful chemicals, GMOs, parabens, or SLS. Ask for it at your favorite store. You can also order it today and receive a free $10 tube with your purchase of $10 or more by texting DIRT to 90407, calling 877-787-7180, or going to rtpr.com and using the promo code DIRT.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
The future of holistic health is here. Possessing the power to maintain wellness at the cellular level, RegActive is a revolutionary and remarkable new supplement that will transform the future of preventative and restorative health. RegActive features the innovative probiotic strain ME3, a patented probiotic with over 20 years of research proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione, the body's master antioxidant. Glutathione is used by all of our cells, especially in the fight against free radicals, environmental toxins, and the effects of aging. Our levels of glutathione decrease dramatically as we age, leaving us very vulnerable to age-related health issues. Revolutionary, remarkable, RegActive. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, renowned for introducing Dr. O'Hara's probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Look for RegActive at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide where Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are sold.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy,
controls your allergy sensitivities and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
As I said, we've sold a bunch of books to people we were visiting with yesterday at the D&L home and farm and home show over or business over in Denton, Texas. Really had a good visit over there. If you're interested, wherever you are out there in the country, interested in the books or my art or our online class, easy way to do it, just go to dirtdoctor.com. And up at the top of the page, you'll see a red button that says buy books, art, and class. And that's where you do it. And going that route, there's some benefits. The prices are the decent prices. I mean, the same prices that you'd get anywhere, but there's some extra benefits there of getting seed and membership in the Organic Club of America and some things like that. So take a look at that if you're interested in any of that stuff, including the 15-chapter class online school. We did that because there were no schools, two-year, four-year, any year, teaching the organic techniques that we recommend. So we did our own course. 15 chapters, like I said, you take a chapter at a time, and then you take a test at the end of each chapter. And after you pass it, 100% pass, you go to the next level, next chapter. We've got chapters on soil improvement, on bed preparation, on planting techniques, two on insects, one on diseases, one on weeds. We have two on trees. A lot of detail on trees, as you might guess. Then we've got a chapter on watering and irrigation. We've got chapters on food crops, chapters on landscaping, and pretty much everything that you can think of. It's me teaching the course. And the way it was set up, it was something that I had wanted to do for a long time. I got to give the presentation on a little stage using my slides on a monitor, so I was able to use a lot of stuff because we really didn't have any time limit that I had never used before that I wanted to use. So you'll be seeing some detail there that I don't get a chance to do in my books necessarily or in my personal appearances. They all kind of work together. All my different things that we have work together, and all of them give a little bit different angle and a little bit different information about this thing that we call the Natural Organic Program. But again, just look for the red button at the top of any page on dirtdoctor.com that says buy books, art, and class. Okay, the Flora dropped off, and I don't know if she had to go to church or what, but Flora, if you call back, tell Mary Rose, and we'll get you on here as quickly as we can. Sorry for the delay. The thing I was talking about trees that I hadn't gotten to yet was planting techniques. And I wanted to talk specifically about using hydrogen peroxide as a beneficial thing when you're planting. And it doesn't matter what kind of soil you're in planting your trees. My planting techniques, the things I recommend, are valid whether you're in clay soils or sand, sugar sand. It doesn't matter where you are. The hydrogen peroxide would be most advantageous to the people in clay soils, but it wouldn't be a bad idea to even use it if you have sandy soils. And this is what we do. When we're going to plant a new tree, first of all, we do what I've already talked about this morning. We establish the true top of the ball. Whether it was purchased in a container or balled and burlapped, it's going to be too deep in the container. So you need to take the burlap off and figure out where the true top of the root ball is. If it's in a container, take it out of the container. Then when you establish where it really is, you measure the height of that ball. And this goes for even planting a bare-rooted plant, because bare-rooted plants are usually healed in, and you see that soil line on them that's up somewhere around the bend or the crook or the swelling in the little tree. Well, that's the graft union. And a lot of people think because of seeing it and then seeing the soil line where the bare-rooted plant was healed in, they think that's the line that ought to be planted at the surface of the soil. And if you do that, if you plant the bare-rooted tree so that that dogleg or swelling is at the surface of the soil, you will have planted the tree about 8 to 10 inches too deep in the ground. That is the graft union. It's above the true crown, the root flare of the little tree, by at least 6 inches. And in a lot of cases, like I said, it's as much as 8 or 10 inches. And then you plant it and it settles a little bit and you end up getting it too deep. And that's why I see so many problems with fruit trees. People get them too deep in the ground by a long way. So if you've already done that, you need to fix it, get it down to the top. And the flare is hard to see on a little bare-rooted tree. It'll be just some roots, fine roots growing out of a kind of a straight. There won't be a flaring very much at all. There can be in some cases, but when it's a tiny little seedling, you know, bare-rooted seedling, it's not going to have much of a flare. All you're going to see are the roots coming out at a certain point. And even then, if you're being careful and looking for it, you can be fooled by something that's called adventitious roots. And the adventitious roots are fake roots or false roots that are growing up above the crown. So in other words, if you see one root that's up 6 or 8 inches above all the where the, you know, there's a whole grouping of roots coming out, set that above the ground. Leave it there for a while, and then later on cut it off, because it's a false root. It's what's called adventitious and should eventually go away. I'm Howard Garrett, telephone number 866-444-3478.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed in mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit DirtDoctor.com.
America, we've got your back for immune health this season. It seems that everyone you know has a cold or the flu. Many health professionals agree that probiotics are the number one natural therapy for boosting immune health at this time of the year. Why are probiotics so good? Because 70% of your body's immune cells reside in the GI tract. By taking a superior probiotic daily like Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, you can enhance your overall immune system. Since its origin over 30 years ago, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics has prided itself on purity in creating the certified vegetarian probiotic supplement, free of gluten, allergens, and GMOs. Natural healthy fruits and vegetables are fermented for 3 years with 12 probiotic strains to create Dr. O'Hara's trademark postbiotic metabolite blend. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference for yourself this cold and flu season. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Amazon.com, as well as Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and natural health retailers everywhere. Get them today.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out. But lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I got sidetracked talking about the flares on bare-rooted trees, and I didn't finish what I started talking about. I do that a lot, you probably noticed. The thing that I had started going toward telling you about was when you dig, once you establish what the height is of the true ball and where the flare is, and you measure it, and you know, and you want to set that a little bit higher than ground grade, and that is to compensate for any settling that might happen and all that, so that you know you get the plant at the right height. Very, very, very important. But digging that hole then at that proper depth and making it at least three times wider than the ball of the plant, if it's balled and burlapped or container, you'll hear people still, there's some universities that still put out the recommendation to dig the hole only big enough to get the tree down into. And you'll see drawings and things where they've dug a round, tight hole with an auger or something like that. Worst thing you can do. Dr. Whitcomb in Oklahoma, buddy of mine, not organic, but he's done more research on planting trees and what works and what doesn't work than anybody probably short of Shigo in the country, makes the statement that the single most important thing you can do in planting a tree is dig a big old wide rough-sided hole, and I totally agree. I used to recommend it being, wide all the way. It only really needs to be wide at the top. In other words, the hole for the tree, and this goes for any woody plant, it can be saucer-shaped. It needs to be the right depth right in the center, and then it can angle up to be the three times the width of the ball at the surface, or even wider. And you don't want it smooth. If you've made it smooth by using a tree digging machine or your own shovels or whatever, you need to rough up that side. Again, whether it's sand or clay, more important than clay, for obvious reasons, because if you dug a tree with a tree moving machine, you're digging the hole with this knife device, and the tree has been dug with the same device, and you're putting two glazed surfaces together down in that hole. And even the people that are really knowledgeable about planting trees with tree moving machines like that, they'll tell you, you know, and correctly so, that you need to destroy those two smooth surfaces with, you know, a big bar of some kind or some kind of a device, air spade, whatever you want to use, but make sure that there's a roughness there. And the reason for that is that you want the roots, once they start growing out, to not hit a smooth wall of soil, because if they do, they'll turn and start growing around in a circle in the hole. They'll do it every time. But if it's rough, you know, dug and just roughed up with some kind of a tool, or if you dug it with a backhoe, you know, and if it's square, or dug it by hand and it's square, that works too, because the roots go over into the corners and it'll tend to keep growing on out. In other words, you want to set up a situation where those young roots can get out into that native soil with as much ease as possible. We do not want them circling around in the hole. Related to that is that you don't want to backfill with anything but the soil that came out of the hole. If you're doing it by hand or with, you know, a backhoe or some kind of a machine like that, you want to put the soil that came out of the hole back in, no amendments, no peat moss. I don't recommend peat moss ever, except for one thing, storing things you don't want to rot. And I'll talk about that more if we have time. But what goes in the hole is no amendments, no organic amendments. None of the things that I talk about go down in the hole. They go on the surface. You know, we improve the surface with compost, rock minerals, and sugars and all that. And putting that on the surface after you've backfilled with the existing soil and settled it with water and everything, that's fine. And I also don't recommend the watering rings, which still a lot of people do. I think they are unnecessary. If you've planted the tree like I just described, you'll be able to, with that big old wide hole that was rough soil put back in, you don't tamp it a lot either. You just let the water settle the soil, and that doesn't create air pockets and other problem areas, but it stays loose enough to where when you put a hose on the ground and let it run, if you get into a drought and you want to water and water, 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 it'll soak down in there easily and won't run off. So you don't need the little dam around the newly planted tree. It looks bad. It's a maintenance problem. They normally don't get taken away. And a lot of times they get knocked down and pushed in toward the tree and are part of the filling above the true top of the ball and the flare. Don't recommend thick bark anymore either. You put a couple of inches of bark at the outside edge of the hole after you've backfilled, and then as the mulch, and the mulch I recommend is a shredded native tree trimmings, as the mulch gets closer and closer to the trunk of the tree, it gets thinner and thinner. It's thickest out at the outside edge of the hole you dug, and then tapers to become thinner and thinner and thinner toward the trunk of the tree. And at the trunk, it's zero. There's no mulch touching the flare of the tree. Okay. Also, no wrapping of the tree. There's still recommendations for that. Not that many people recommend it, but there's a few people that say it's absolutely essential, especially for red oaks, because it'll keep the borers from getting into the trunks of the red oaks. I've got a photograph. I use it in my classes, and I use it. There's the same photograph is in my tree book and other books too, and it shows wrapping, and it shows the fact that there's a gap in the wrapping that's about a quarter of an inch, and then there, of course, at the top of the wrapping and at the bottom of the wrapping, you know, there's trunk. So it would take a pretty stupid insect to not be able to figure out how to get above or through the gaps in the wrapping or under the bottom, at the bottom of the base of the tree, to get in and cause the problem. The truth is, the wrapping of gauze or paper or whatever you're talking about, I don't recommend any of them, cause more problems than good. It doesn't prevent the insects from getting there. If anything, it sets up a condition, an environment that's much more beneficial for them. A lot of times you can pull that wrapping off and roaches will run out, and you'll see that borers have gotten a start. It did just the opposite of what it was intended to do. And the main thing is that it shades the bark, and the bark doesn't breathe. That's one of the reasons that soil and mulch up on the trunk of the tree and up on the flare is so detrimental. You're covering up bark tissue. And when you cover it up with bark or soil or one of those green watering bags, which I don't like either, or wrapping, you're setting up an artificial condition on the trunk of the tree so that it doesn't breathe properly. A healthy tree breathes through its bark, and that's why it being dry is so important. You can keep a tree alive with doing all those bad techniques. You can keep it alive and it grow, and you think it's doing pretty well. But it's never going to reach the potential that it can if you don't do those things that are harmful. And you might even lead to some early diseases, probably will, and insect problems. And you're definitely going to have slower growth and less production of flowers and fruiting and all that if you do those things that are incorrect. Pruning too much, next on the item of planting a new tree. You'll hear people talk about thinning out a tree to compensate for the loss of roots when it's transplanted, right? Well, think about this. When you're buying a tree that's in a container at the nursery, which probably there's more of that done than bald and burlapped, there's not any loss of roots. The roots are all in that container, so you're not compensating for loss of roots at all there. And the truth is, you don't have to do that anyway. It's another thing that Whitcomb discovered, and that was that if you leave the top of the limbs of the tree when you transplant it, in most cases, there's one or two little exceptions that I'll explain, but in most cases, leaving the limbs, even the low limbs on the trunk, that's called trashy trunk, leaving the full canopy of the tree when it's planted creates a situation where the roots benefit the most when it starts to grow. When you thinned it out a whole bunch, like is recommended to cut back a fruit tree or a pecan tree by 50% or 90% or whatever they recommend these days, that tree is going to first spend its energy regrowing what you cut off before it starts spending any of its energy growing roots. Common sense. So don't cut them back. Don't cut back the top of pecans. Don't cut back the top of fruit trees, with one exception there, and that is if you want to establish a particular kind of branching pattern. And with some fruit trees, peach trees and plums, what you will establish is an inverted pyramid kind of a shape. In other words, scaffolding a branch is going out at a 45-degree angle. That's a reason to prune. What you're doing, though, is you're establishing a branching pattern that will produce fruit. Fruit will set better and be more productive on 45-degree growing limbs. Yeah, better than straight-up growing limbs and limbs that are growing straight out. So that's a reason to prune at planting, but it only is a valid thing on certain fruit trees. So that's okay to do, but you don't thin it out to compensate for root loss. You don't do it because it'll help it get through transplant shock better or anything like that. We want as many limbs and as many leaves to grow on the trees as we possibly can. There's two exceptions in another area for that. One, and they don't happen all that often. One is we used to deal with a lot in the landscape business, a new live oak tree dug fresh and bald and burlapped and moved in and planted. It does benefit from being thinned out a little bit. And another one is Yaupon holly. And maybe a few of the other evergreen trees would benefit a little bit, but not too much. Those are the only ones that I know for sure. And usually they're already hardened off, being bald and burlapped or in containers at the nursery, and that's not a valid thing to tell you. I'm just telling you, if you run into that unusual situation on those two, it would be okay to thin them out a little bit, and they might even benefit from them. But all other trees, don't touch them. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back with you right after this.
Azomite is a naturally occurring organic soil amendment for improving root systems, plant vigor, and crop quality. Azomite is easy to blend with other fertilizers to create a complete soil feeding program. Add Azomite on your garden, lawn, ornamentals, and trees from planting to maturity. It comes in a variety of grades. Azomite can also be added to animal feed for chickens, livestock, or horses. Order Azomite by calling Mike at 301-219-7540 or going to azomite.com/results. That's 301-219-7540 or azomite.com/results.
Hard at work for over 75 years, Dram watering tools have been the professional's choice for quality and durability. Now you can create the softest shower of rain with a Dram rain wand in your garden. Choose from 9 water patterns for a variety of uses with a revolver spray gun, and use a color storm sprinkler for a lush playground. Quality you can depend on for a lifetime. Dram, the professional's choice for lawn and garden. Available at a fine garden center near you. Visit us online at dram.com.
Espoma Organic Garden Tone is not your garden variety fertilizer. It's a specially blended product for vegetable gardens with a rich, all-natural blend that nourishes your plants and helps grow healthy, mouth-watering vegetables. It's simple to use and safe for the family and pets, with no harmful chemicals or synthetic fertilizers ever added. Best of all, Espoma products are effective for your organic production. Visit Espoma.com for a retailer near you. Garden Tone from Espoma, a natural in the garden since 1929.
Experience the healing revolution and get away from sickness, pharmaceuticals, pain, and poor health. Before you operate or medicate, now you can regenerate your body with Infinity Stem Cells to activate your body's natural healing ability. It's simple, safe, effective, affordable. Book your free consultation now by calling Achieve Vitality at 469-600-8794. That's 469-600-8794, or go to AchieveVitality.net.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically, because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea, or using rose petals in teas or salads, is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus, and BioWash. Dust, if necessary, with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Frankie family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Somebody called in to say that I had, and they were absolutely right, that I hadn't gotten around to the hydrogen peroxide point on the trees yet. I do that a lot. I apologize. It's kind of how I do my art. I'll be working on one art piece, and something will come up as an idea for another one that I've got, either I want to start or I've already started, and I go back and forth. I'm an ADD talk show host as well as an artist. Let me, Carl, I get to you real quick, but the hydrogen peroxide, after you've dug that wide, ugly, rough-sided hole, and before you backfill and do all that stuff, forgot to put this point in. This isn't something you absolutely have to do, but is a great thing if you do have time to work it in, and that is to get down in the hole if it's big enough to get down into. If not, just, you know, get on your knees and do it, and spray or use a watering can and put hydrogen peroxide on the exposed surface of the hole before you put the tree in. Now, you can put a little bit on the ball as well, but if you just put it on the wall, that may be enough. Putting a little bit on the ball probably good too, and even drenching a little bit on the surface would be all right too. Don't overdo it. Just a kind of a light spraying on all the surfaces. What that does, and it's more important in the hole than on the ball, but spraying it on the wall surface, it starts the softening of the soil. Hydrogen peroxide right out of the grocery store. If you mix it with water 50-50, that's fine, especially if you're going to be using it to spray the ball. If you're spraying the soil surface, the straight 3% stuff from the grocery store is fine. It's not going to hurt anything, and it'll be very beneficial. It's called flocculation. It starts this process of softening the soil so that when the roots go out there, you've already, you know, improved the soil. You only do it one time. If you continue to do hydrogen peroxide applications over and over and over again, it'll do the same thing it does if you just keep putting it on a cut on your hand over and over and over and over again. It'll kill the good bacteria. You're going to be killing the bacteria with the first application, but then it immediately starts to reverse its effect and stimulate biological activity and get things going for you the right direction. It does an oxidation, you know, that's what hydrogen peroxide does, and starts that softening, that flocculation, and is helpful to the roots being able to penetrate and get started growing your trees. Okay? All right. And then I'll get back to finishing up on that. A couple of other tree points, and then we're going to talk about grass and tree trimmings, whether it should be left on the property or go to the city or go to the composting company is our next topic. And right now it's Carl in Farmers Branch. Hello, Carl.
And how are you doing, Howard?
I'm doing very well. What can I do for you today?
I've been trying to kill some of the weeds that have already popped up with the vinegar. And it seems like cooler weather, it doesn't seem to be as effective. So about what temperature do they start opening up and letting the vinegar in?
You know, it's more, I guess temperature is a little bit of a factor, Carl. It's more of a sunlight factor. I've actually found in my own experiments using the organic herbicides like vinegar and fatty acids and essential oils that I get more complete kill during a little bit cooler weather and in full sun. When it's really, really hot, it'll burn them and kill the top off real fast, but you don't get as thorough a complete kill as if it's a little bit, you know, cooler. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
It may be that you're just not getting a good enough coverage. One thing I found out when I was playing around with the Pure Grow organic herbicide the other day at the office, I was using a sprayer that I thought was going to be real good, and the darn thing just wasn't. It turned out to be not very good. It put out a real fine kind of a mist. You want a heavy covering of the green foliage, whether it's rescue grass or hembit or your cool seed chickweed, whatever you're trying to spray right now, with a sprayer that puts out good, heavy coverage, or get a big watering can. I've got a galvanized watering can. It has a removable nozzle on it that puts out a nice break, and just walk around and use a watering can to put a nice heavy coating on. And the Pure Grow product or the 20% vinegar, even 10% vinegar if it has orange oil in it, or the fatty acid products like Cyph or BioSafe, they will all kill when it's fairly cool. The stomata and the reception of the killing power just in the leaf surface will work if the stomata aren't even totally open, to answer your question. But you just need good coverage. That's the key.
Okay. I just need to let you go.
Well, I can put you on hold if you had something else. I'll talk to you off the air. If you had something else, I'll put you on hold, and if you want to stick with us, that's fine too. Well, Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, we'll be back and we'll talk about trees a little bit more and then get into the grass clippings and compost and all that kind of an issue. I wanted to cover that. We'll talk about some specific tree questions that I have gotten. If you've got one for me, give me a call. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 866-444-3478. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. It's dirtdoctor.com.